Ms. 1236.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Well, he just got back into the country in just the past few days, but Colonel Eric Riley from the Oregon National Guard back in Roseburg. Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
What's it feel like to finally be back after being gone for about 10 months?
Yes. You know, it's kind of a surreal feeling the first few days, but it's wonderful. Family and friends are around, and it's just good to spend quality time kind of relaxing and getting used to being back in Oregon.
Now, you've been part of a big group that's been over in Kosovo for, is it 10 months?
Yeah, we were deployed for 10 months total, yes.
And so you were gone 10 months, but not over in Kosovo quite all that time.
No, we were in Kosovo for about 9 months. We spent the first month in Germany doing some NATO training in preparation for our mission. And then we had training in Texas on the front end, and then the out processing or demobilization on the back end. So in total, it's about 11 months, actually.
So talk about, because you're tied to a different group. Most people around here, when you say National Guard, think Charlie Company.
Yes. So Charlie Company is part of a larger unit in Southern Oregon. And they're part of the 41st Infantry Brigade Combat Team, which I'm the commander of, which is headquartered in Portland. So Charlie Company is one company in a large brigade.
And so you had, in your group that you were dealing with in Kosovo, the people from Oregon all over the state, or pretty centered a couple places?
Pretty centered, one in Springfield, where we had our infantry battalion, 2162 Infantry, and then my brigade headquartered out of Clackamas, also was on the Kosovo deployment.
So how many Oregon troops were over there with your group?
It was about 400 in total, real close.
And I know that they kind of came back very slowly.
They did. We started moving back from Kosovo middle of November. And part of our out processing plan is you come through a demobilization site. This happened to be Fort Bliss, Texas. There was a 2-week quarantine requirement before we could start out processing. And then soldiers would start out processing after that. Now, we had a few soldiers get test positive. I was one of the positive soldiers, and that reset the quarantine, so it lengthened our stay in Texas a little bit for some of us.
And Task Force Kosovo, what can you tell us about what you were doing over there?
So the task force in total was about 900 soldiers, 400 from Oregon, and then I had soldiers from Colorado, Texas, New York, and Germany assigned to me. Kosovo Forces. It's a peacekeeping mission, a NATO peacekeeping mission. We were part of one of 27 nations contributing in this nation. The mission consisted of two things. One, patrolling along the administrative boundary line or the border between Kosovo and Serbia. Whole reason that NATO is there. And then the other part was working with local municipal leaders and institutions in Kosovo just to make sure that they are progressing and growing as a nation.
So what kind of give us an overall feel of what it was like to be over there in Kosovo? Had you ever been there before?
I had not. So I'd never been to the Balkans. It was my first time in Southeastern Europe, and it was much different than my deployments to the Middle East, certainly. This being a peacekeeping mission also, you know, takes on a different nature than a combat mission, certainly. And it was, we focused a lot on relationships and growing some of the entities that we were working with. So it certainly was a different mission.
When we talked to you over the summer from Kosovo, one of the first questions I got from someone who didn't hear the entire interview was, where's Kosovo?
Yeah. I had to look it up on the map. I'm embarrassed to say that, but it's in old Yugoslavia. It was one of the provinces in Yugoslavia, or the states in Yugoslavia. So it's just north of Greece.
And what other countries are kind of right around it?
Macedonia, North Macedonia, Albania, Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and Serbia surround Kosovo.
Now, you've done these long deployments before. What's it like to be away from your family this long?
being away from family is hard. And for me as the commander of the unit, I was actually on orders and away from home close to 18 months because I went and prepped other units that were deploying elsewhere, Charlie Company included, locally. And being away is hard. I mean, you know, it's being away for a week or two, not a big deal. But when you're gone for months and months and months, it's you have to intentionally work at staying connected and engaged with the family.
So you've been gone from Roseburg for a year and a half.
Almost. I left my work here on June 20th of 2019.
Talk about your day job.
So I left as the director for the Partnership for the Umpqua Rivers. We do salmon habitat restoration and water quality monitoring throughout the Umpqua Basin. So looking forward to going back and seeing people. I think they're working virtually, actually, but I'm looking forward to getting re-engaged in that in about a month or so.
So being gone that long, you missed a lot of events involving those close to you.
I did. My daughter graduated high school. I had to participate virtually, which I guess was kind of an ongoing thing anyways here. So you miss kids and you miss life events. We built a deck at the house and I didn't get to participate in that. So just life goes on when we're deployed. And like I said, you have to be intentional about staying engaged.
I think if they built a deck while I was gone, I'd be happy.
I'm very pleased.
You probably don't
want... Thanks to my wife, Lori. Yeah.
You don't want me helping with that.
Exactly.
The technology, though, that's available now, and certainly all of us have been using it a lot more this year, I would imagine it makes being gone this long a little easier.
It does. It does for me. This was the first deployment that Lori and I have gone to, we've gone through together. This was my fourth deployment. And in previous deployments, we didn't have WhatsApp and Signal and all these virtual, Zoom wasn't a thing. And I could see and talk to the family almost every day. So, yeah, it was much easier to stay engaged.
But is that distracting from your mission?
No, we get enough downtime. You know, after the day's duty day, typically we weren't running night missions. It wasn't 24-hour operations all the time. So there was breaks, and I could call home for 20 minutes or so.
What about you get there and, oh, we have COVID-19.
So, yes. So we trained for this peacekeeping mission. We did not train for it under any COVID restrictions or preventative measures. And when we showed up in Kosovo last March, well, it hit Italy and the rest of Europe pretty hard. And we immediately transitioned into this doing the mission while we're learning how to deal with COVID, which was an added bonus. I don't know how to say it. It added to the mission, certainly.
What did it change about what you did over there?
So what it hurt was initially the first couple of months we couldn't go out and meet with the people. For example, I met with local mayors and police chiefs, and that was my job. I would stay engaged with them, but I couldn't meet them for the first couple of months. So emails would occur and maybe a phone call, but the face-to-face interaction that's so important in a peacekeeping mission, That was hard to do.
It's hard to have that personal connection, especially when you're at that level working with right. folks that are, you know, have that level of responsibility. When you're looking at them via a screen and you really, I mean, you can't read body signals.
No, you can't. And even a lot of times it's just a voice and you can't really tell that body language. And so doing it on Zoom or some kind of video teleconference media is nice. But it's just not the same, and it's not as personal. And like I said, in a peacekeeping mission, that stuff's really important.
So for those on the ground that you were directing, how did COVID-19 impact their work?
So our patrols were dismounted patrols for the most part, some vehicular patrols. And those weren't hampered as much, other than we couldn't, to try to minimize any spread of COVID, we didn't... maximize the seats in the vehicles, so we would have to take extra vehicles. But as far as that, it was just that interpersonal communication that was the biggest challenge wherever we were.
Colonel Eric Riley from the Oregon National Guard with us on Inside Douglas County. Back in a couple of minutes, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. More on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. Colonel Eric Riley from the Oregon National Guard back in Roseburg after about a year and a half. There's so much we could talk about. Was it harder to stay in good spirits over there in Kosovo when maybe there were less things you could do in your downtime?
Yeah, I think, you know, morale is something that in any organization you think about, you talk about as a leader. In the military, morale is a big thing. You know, we've had in the news the last few years, we've talked so much about suicides and, you know, people are depressed. And in a COVID environment, when you are locked, and we were literally locked down on our base, we weren't allowed to go out and visit any of the local establishments. So it was hard. You know, we tried to do fun things like, you know, physical fitness type of things, ruck marches and 12-mile ruck marches and do things, but those only go so far for morale. So it was a challenge, and it's something we had to pay attention to on a regular basis in my command team.
I imagine for even when you're working on something like this, it would be like folks that are visiting a country but don't get to see it.
Right. And that's something in our train-up, we had heard, we had learned that we would be able to experience some of the local restaurants. There's a lot of historical castles and sites in Kosovo, and we went to very few of those, just out of safety.
How many other nations were involved in this NATO mission?
There's 27 in total, so 26 other nations participated with us. Under my command, we had a Turkish company, a Polish company, and then several individuals on my brigade staff from multiple nations. Slovenia was a big participant.
Is it different to be doing this, commanding a NATO mission, versus one that just has U.S. personnel?
It is much different. You got to lead a little differently. Understanding, you know, when it's just U.S. personnel, it's very easy because we have a doctrine and a way of doing business. When you throw in a bunch of different nations, they have different ways of doing business, and so you got to find the right way to work with each of those nations. At the end of the day, it's still a military organization, and everybody understands the concept, but it is a little more challenging, certainly.
Was it different, or was it? What did you observe about, because of the COVID issues and the precautions and the things you couldn't do, did some folks from certain nations handle it better than others?
I think so, and some took it to an extreme that I felt was not necessary, but yes. What was interesting was the Kosovo itself, medical capabilities are not like they are here in the United States. And we were very concerned with the local population and how they would deal with COVID and how it would affect our NATO soldiers. But interestingly enough, each nation had a protocol that they followed for their nation, not for NATO, and that trumped any NATO restrictions or requirements.
So you get through this, and coming back with this larger group is not like jumping in the minivan and heading home.
No. We planned it for a couple of months to come home. And it's not jumping in the minivan. I've still got stuff on a boat somewhere. I'm hoping it's in the Gulf of Mexico at this point, but it's on the way home. I got equipment coming home. So yes, it's a big effort to get everybody home. Flying's the easy part, but it's getting through customs and getting stuff put on Connexes early enough so they can get to a port to ship.
And probably some differences due to COVID in just how you did that too.
Absolutely. You know, just what used to be easy, there's two or three extra steps, you know, whether that's wearing a mask or sanitizing a Connex to put a plastic box into, you know, which never thought of that before, but yes.
So you got back to Texas and then some issues kind of came up.
So yeah, we came back from Kosovo. Landed in Texas. It was a nice sunny day, and within a few hours, one soldier said, "I think I have a fever." That soldier turned out to be positive. And over the next 2 weeks, we had other soldiers that came down positive, and myself included, like I said. And so that extended our stay a little bit because, you know, we were following the Army's protocol. If you are in close contact with somebody that's positive, it resets your quarantine timeline. Out of abundance of caution and to make sure we didn't bring it back to Oregon. You know, we didn't want to come home and get our family sick. So, yeah, my stay got extended. I came down positive and had to restart in a 10-day isolation. And I joked with somebody, that isolation was enough to convince me that a life of crime isn't for me, because I don't want to go to jail and be isolated. 10 days was enough.
And you were in isolation, yet you were probably doing things via email and text and all that as a commander.
I was. So I was making videos to update the families back home, because our timeline was throwing all out of whack. I spent a lot of time on emails and texts just to make sure, because once we started getting into an isolation situation, soldiers were being separated. So one group became multiple groups, and it was harder to keep, everybody in unison, I'll say.
So how many folks did you have that tested positive?
Department of the Army doesn't want me to talk specific numbers, but our group, we had almost half of us that tested positive. And fortunately, of that, and it was that this number, half is over 60, I'll say that. Nobody got seriously ill, which was great. To be in the military, you got to be in a certain set of physical fitness, a level of physical fitness, and nobody got really sick with it, which was good.
And is everybody already back now?
Everybody, you mean back from Texas?
Right.
No, we still have about 20 soldiers in Texas. I was on the phone with them just about an hour ago, and they are finishing their out processing today. And fingers crossed that they all fly home tomorrow. We're waiting to hear on somebody that you may get held up if there's a medical, if you have to get some work done on a knee or a shoulder or something. But
what's the age range of the troops from Oregon that you are overseeing?
So I know we did have two 18-year-olds that went with us, and I'm 51. There may be somebody a little older than me, I'm not sure. But I would say that, the average range is between 22 and 35. It was a pretty senior group because it's a brigade headquarters, so higher rank individuals.
And what kind of occupations are these folks going back to?
Oh, it's all over the board. My command sergeant major, he's an engineer. He drives a train. We've got electricians. We've got plumbers. We've got police officers. Just every walk of life, which is the neat thing about the National Guard. I can speak for the Oregon Army National Guard because we're Army, but that's the neat thing. We have so many different specialty occupations on the civilian side that we bring to our military duty, which is unique. It's not that way on active duty.
And it's those skill sets that puts them, I imagine, in the role they have in the Guard.
Some of them follow that. So we got a lot of IT folks, and we had some IT specialties in the military. But we had a very, I'll say, robust military intelligence section on this deployment. And most of them on the outside of the military don't work for the CIA or like that.
So you come back Saturday night.
Yes.
What do you notice as you after a day or so? I mean, it's only Tuesday now. What feels different about Roseburg?
Honestly, so as a commander, we dictated mask wearing rules and COVID preventative measures. I don't really know what they are. I've seen a lot of opinions on social media while we were gone on but I don't know what the rules are for that. Aside from that, Roseburg doesn't look too different, which is nice. I understand we got a new, five guys?
We do.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't been to that part of town yet.
So now you've got some exploring to do.
I do. I got some reconnaissance to do.
So what about transitioning, aside from maybe going and getting a burger, transitioning back to family life? I mean, a year and a half, that's a long time.
It is a long time. And unfortunately, my family is a little bit used to me being gone. But Lori and I, my wife and I, we've talked about it, and you have to be intentional about getting back together, managing expectations, and understanding that integrating back into a family setting after being separate from the family for a while, it takes a little time and patience.
Now, how soon do you go back to your job at the partnership?
We decided I'd take about a month off. I've got some leave built up in the military, and I'm just gonna. I've got a few projects at home that I want to work on, and really, it's more about just spending that time with my wife and the kids while they're home, just to bring that unit back together. So I'm looking at taking about a month off before I go back to work.
And it seems like I've heard before that that's kind of what the military recommends.
Yep. And if you're intentional about it, and I truly believe that, I've said it like six times now, but you do need to be intentional. And it is good this was not a combat deployment, so the stress levels were different, certainly. This was the first deployment that I've had out of the four. I worried more about what was going on at home than I did, you know, for my own safety and what was going on in Kosovo, even for the safety of our soldiers. Peacekeeping, mission by nature, is pretty peaceful. And there was a lot going on at home while we were gone.
Colonel Eric Riley, the Oregon National Guard, welcome back to Roseburg.
Thank you. It's great to be back, Kyle.
1257 and News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.